could get awkward. Wait.
Those are.
Wait, did you?
Sure. This could get.
Oh, I did it wrong already.
No, it sounds stupid.
Are you ready?
This could get awkward.
I think that was perfect. Okay, welcome to episode 54 of This Could Get Awkward. I'm Janelle.
I'm Sam.
This is so great to see because I know it was a week or two ago that we had, you know, we did our year anniversary episode. We answered a few questions and we said, keep those questions coming if you ever have them for us. And we did get another question about something that we could discuss today on the podcast. So this one comes from our super fan, Boyan, who wanted to know maybe what some of the most ridiculous, outrageous, strange, stupid things that we've ever Googled before. And I had to think about this a lot because I don't really know off the top of my head of anything. Do you?
Yeah, me either.
So what I thought might be a fun idea is to literally just go through our history right now.
Okay.
In the past, I don't know. We don't have to go super deep, but just.
I guess I'll just see like what comes up.
Do you want to go first?
Sure. Oh, God. Chocolate Easter eggs. That's not that exciting. I just needed a picture of chocolate Easter eggs for a poster I was making. The next thing is police headquarters for the city that I live in.
Why?
Which I will get to. Well, I'll give more info later, but in an upcoming episode, we will dive into my experience with the police recently. How to see a board you collaborate with on Pinterest.
All your searches are boring, Sam.
Mine are boring. Let me see if I can. Romantic quotes.
What were you looking? Was that wedding related?
Yeah, because we're finalizing the ceremony stuff with our marriage commissioner and all of the things that she wants to say and like what we want to say and that sort of thing. And she has like this standard quote that she uses and it doesn't resonate with us. So I was looking for a different one.
Oh, that's interesting. You get to kind of pick what your person says.
Yeah, there are certain things that have to be said to make it a fish, but we can pretty much personalize it however we want to. We're not going to do anything crazy. First ever black hole image, black hole picture. Scott Moir, who is one half of Canada's darling ice dance team of Scott Moir and Tessa Virtue. It was work related. Oh, no, mine's boring.
Okay. I'll dive deep into my Google searches for the past little while. This afternoon, I Googled how many calories are in a Golden Palace egg roll.
Okay.
And that's because I ate like 10 of them today.
Yum.
And I was shocked to find out that there's 200 calories in the average egg roll. So that is 2,000 calories.
Of just egg rolls. That's awesome.
I don't feel 100% right now.
Awesome. Now I want egg rolls.
Oh my gosh, they were so good. I had them for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Something else I Googled was, why is my aloe droopy?
What's an aloe?
Like my aloe plant.
Oh, okay.
So I have a lot of plants in my apartment. People might think that I know what I'm doing and I have a green thumb, but I've definitely killed a lot of plants and my aloe plant is not looking hot right now. I found out that he needs 6 hours of direct sunlight a day and we get no direct sunlight into our apartment.
Aww.
So we're going to have to figure that out. I have a bunch of IKEA searches because I love IKEA and I'm constantly looking up ideas for DIYing things. Oh, this is interesting. On the weekend, I Googled, how do birds mate?
Oh, we're just wondering. You're just wondering about that?
So I think there is a new, it's on Netflix and it's a new documentary series. I think it's called Our Planet.
Okay. Is that the one that's got Chris Hadfield in it?
No, it's David Attenborough is the voiceover guy.
Okay.
But that's cool it's too. Like a nature documentary series kind of thing. And they were showing birds mating on there, or they were talking about birds mating.
Okay.
And then I was just very confused. I was like, wait, how do birds mate? How do they mount each other? How do they? Because I always thought that the female laid an egg and then the male came and fertilized the egg after it was already came out.
That's what you thought?
Yeah, because, I mean, chickens have eggs all the time, and they're just unfertilized eggs.
But you thought they were, like, fertilized after they're laid?
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure that's wrong. I didn't dive deep into that.
It's good that you Googled it. What did you learn?
Not much. I just saw a lot of pictures, mostly. And then I stopped looking, and yeah, I didn't need to. And here's kind of an interesting topic that I think was actually floating around the internet the other day, and I was Googling it for work, and I'd love to know your take on it.
Okay.
Did you see the bra debate?
No.
So there was a debate on Twitter, I think it was, about how you put on a bra.
Okay.
So there was two different photos shown in the picture that kind of went viral. And it's okay. Either, you know, you put the bra on, you put your arms through the straps, and then you do it up behind your back, or you do it up in front of you, you slide it around, and then put it on.
Oh.
What do you do?
I have to, like, think about it, because I never, like...
You never wear a bra?
No. I never, like, think, now I put my arm through, now I put my other arm through.
Well, it's either, do you do it up in the front?
I don't do the slidey thing, no.
And
I
twist
don't,
it to the back?
No, I definitely put my arms behind my back to clasp it in the back.
Okay, good. We can still be friends. I thought it was so weird that there was so many women who do that. That's a really good way to wreck your bra.
Yeah, and, like, irritate your skin.
And a lot of the arguments were, well, how are you supposed to reach behind your back and do it? I'm like, what? How do you do up your
very
own dress?
Very easily, like, I mean, yeah.
It just, how do you undo it?
Yeah.
You undo it from the back, too. I don't know.
Huh.
It was an interesting debate, so.
I guess we're just more coordinated and better than other people.
Obviously. So, yeah, that's a little dive into our Google searches. Not that entertaining.
Cool. Yeah, we're boring.
Yeah. Most of the time, I do honestly Google things to figure out how to spell words, because I have some trouble spelling some very easy words. I mean, obviously, spell check and autocorrect and all that kind of stuff works really well, but sometimes I have to double check things online.
Every once in a while, my phone just stops autocorrecting, and I look at what I've written, and none of the things are words. They make no sense. Why aren't you correcting everything for me? I guess I can't function without it anymore. And then I have to go switch it off and switch it on or something. And
it's really bad. I actually think I'm getting stupider because of it. No, seriously, there are words that I probably could have spelled when I was in grade school due to all the spelling tests. And now I've just become so reliant. Well, I don't know how to spell those. I'll just pretend I kind of know, and then I'll just figure out.
And then your phone or whatever knows.
But the worst part is that when you spell a word that you think you've, like, you know you're spelling it wrong, but you're doing your best you can, and then it's like, no suggestions. It's like, yeah. You're so far off, we have no idea what you're trying to spell.
Yeah. Yeah, that always stings a bit. Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to just talk about how flying and airplanes are terrifying, and I hate them. And maybe at the end of this, we can ask for advice or coping mechanisms or something like that. You don't mind flying, do you?
Oh, no. I have absolutely no fear. I don't think I've ever even blinked twice, you know, thinking about hopping onto a plane. Even when there is heavy turbulence or anything, even when I've seen planes crash, I literally get on a plane and I think, okay, it's all taken care of. I'm good to go. I've never had a fear of it.
So that used to be me. I have flown around the world my whole life and never gave it a second thought. Although I will say my mom used to be very, very scared of planes, and she would lose her mind. And I have a few different memories of her straight up losing her mind and climbing over the seats in front of her and being like, let me off this plane. And the flight attendants being like, ma'am, we are in the air. Wow. And then my stepdad trying to calm her down and stuff. But now after that, she tried to take, I think it might have been Ativan, or she tried to take something that had been prescribed to her to help. And it just, well, I mean, it helped, but it really knocked her the F out. And I remember we landed back home and we were in the car on the way home. And she was like, only one more flight till we're home. And we were like, oh my God, she's lost it. And then she switched to tequila. She'd have like a little bit of tequila before a flight. She's allergic to wine and beer, and she's not a big drinker, but that would kind of take the edge off. And now she doesn't think about it at all. She's totally fine. And I've gone the exact opposite. I used to be fine. And I think it was when you and I lived in the same small town, the airport and the planes that came in and out of there, because there were no direct flights. So it was always like you take a tiny plane to somewhere slightly bigger and then a normal plane from there.
But let's verify that when you say a tiny plane, it's not a 10-seater. I mean, there was still probably...
Oh, no, my friend.
Wait, what?
Okay, so there's... And unfortunately, I don't know, like, types of planes, but the ones with the propellers, right?
Yeah.
Those still have a fair number of seats.
Oh, yeah.
And you still feel like you're on a plane, but I don't love those because you do feel more of the wind and turbulence and that sort of thing. So I don't love those. Those still scare me. But once I had to take a flight out in the Maritimes from one small town to another small town, and this was the smallest plane I've ever been on. It was February. It was pitch black. There were, I want to say, 4 seats on either side.
What?
No flight attendants, 1 pilot, no door to the cockpit, so you could see right into the cockpit. And I've never been so scared in my whole life. It was like a 20-minute flight, and the whole time I was just like maximum panic, clutching the armrests, tears streaming down my face. I couldn't breathe. I was trying to take every tool in my metaphorical anxiety toolbox. None of it worked. I was just straight up fucking panicked. And then when we landed, you know, there was only one other person on the plane.
I was going to say, was there anyone else there with you?
There was just one other man, and he was in front of me. He didn't know what I was going through. But when we got off the plane to the pilot, I was like, Mel, I've never been on a paper airplane before. And he was like... Paper airplane. He was like, this is as safe as any other plane. And I was like, well, I was freaking terrified. And he was like, you should have come up and I would have told you, like, everything's fine, we're good. And I was like, yeah, I wasn't letting go of my armrests. I was so scared. And then the other flight, I was on a flight on, you know, not that small a plane, but the kind that's got more seats, still only one seat on either side of the propellers. Mm-hmm. And those are terrifying. So I've started to kind of try to arm myself with facts and knowledge. Those tend to be very good enemies for anxiety. So I have a couple of those. One of them is this plane can withstand more turbulence than it will ever actually experience. You know, how many hours the pilots have trained and how often they're retrained and, you know, tested, and the planes, how often they're looked at, and all of this stuff. So I have all these facts, and I have a couple of friends who are pilots. And so I messaged one of them a while ago before a trip when I was really feeling anxiety about it. What would you tell someone who is scared of flying? And he gave me a few facts, and here's why it's safe, here's why you'll be fine, it's the safest way to travel, da 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 da. And then at the end he was like, and honestly, just stop being a little bitch. And honestly, that helped me more than anything else, because now I'll think about that. So I'll think about all these like facts or whatever. And if I'm still feeling anxiety, or if I feel it building and I can't, it's getting out of my hands, I'll say that to myself. I'm like, stop being a little bitch. And then that just makes me laugh, and it kind of helps ease the tension a little bit.
I am so surprised to hear you say that, because I don't have a lot of experience with helping or coping like with somebody who's experiencing anxiety. So I don't exactly mm-hmm. know how to act or mm-hmm. how to help or aid. And I would have thought that would have been the worst thing to say to somebody, like, don't be a bitch.
Well, just I wasn't it having it. I wasn't in a like in an anxiety attack at that time. Okay. So when he told me that, I wasn't in the moment having a panic attack, but I was. There was a flight that I was on and major turbulence, and I was, again, bawling my eyes out, so freaking scared, maximum panic, my chest was super tight, and I'm freaking out. And I was sitting beside this just like a random person on the airplane. He was being very helpful. It wasn't really helping, but it was helping that I was next to someone who was calmer. But he kept saying things like, just trust, we're going to be safe, and just breathe, and you're safe, I promise, you're safe. And he was like saying things like that to Aww. Me, and I was like, okay, like, I don't feel safe, but keep telling me things like that.
So would you say, okay, so you said that this kind of stemmed from taking smaller flights. Are you okay yeah. on larger flights now?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're fine on larger flights.
Now that I live back in a bigger city, and the majority of the planes that I fly in are the bigger planes, I do feel much safer. And I don't know why that is. It doesn't make any sense because they're all safe or whatever. But you feel less of the, you feel less movement.
Yeah, for sure.
So I don't feel like I'm about to be knocked out of the sky. But on any plane, if I think about it too much, really what it comes down to is I just feel so vulnerable. I'm not in control of anything. I'm freaking flying in the air. If anything happens, I'm fucked. There's nothing we can do. I just picture ourselves crashing and I try not to think about those things, but I just feel very vulnerable, I think is what it is.
Yeah. Would you say that it's worse or better when you're with someone? Because you talk, it sounds like you talked a lot about just flying by yourself.
Yes. And that's the other thing is I travel so much by myself for some reason. If I'm with Spencer, for example, I'm fine.
Regardless of the aircraft.
Well, I'll still feel a little bit of, like, if there's turbulence or something like that, like, I'll still feel a little bit, but in any situation, he just makes me feel so at ease and so comfortable and calm. And he also doesn't add to my anxiety by judging it or saying it's silly or anything like that. So I can feel however I feel, have it acknowledged, and then kind of absorb his calming energy. And so just being with him helps in any situation, and especially flying.
Yeah. I don't really know. It sounds like you've literally done everything that you can do. You know, you've talked to people who are in the industry who can like tell you all the facts and everything. I mean, have you ever taken, I don't know what Ativan does, but have you ever taken Gravol to put you to sleep?
Well, my mom suggested that recently. I haven't done that. I do have Ativan. I don't love taking it. So when I originally got a prescription for Ativan, it was a very small dosage. And it almost, you can barely tell that you've taken anything except that it just like
deflates you almost.
Chills you right the F out. Yeah, totally. Deflate is a great word. However, it always makes me feel very down for the next 2 days. Oh. So I don't really like taking it. And I've only taken it a few times, but it helps to know that I have it. So if I really am about to freaking lose it, if I've got that with me, that helps a lot. But I have a new doctor. And before my last trip, I asked him if he could give me a prescription for Ativan. And he wrote it and I took it in, didn't look at it or question it or anything. And he had doubled the dosage that I was used to. So now I have more anxiety about taking my anxiety medication. So I have it with me, but I'm like, I don't want to take it because I don't know how it'll affect me.
How backwards is that?
Right?
Yeah.
He's not my favorite doctor.
You should try Gravol. I mean, I feel like I've done it. I've taken Gravol before just because I was going to need the sleep and I just knew it would help me go to sleep right away. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's great. You sleep and most of the flight's over by the time you wake up, depending on how long your flight is.
Yeah. A big glass of wine really helps too. A big glass of wine, and I'll usually try to read Harry Potter, even if I just read a few things or whatever, because just Harry Potter is such a comfort for me. Mm-hmm. So a big glass of wine and Harry Potter tends to help. But you know what does not help? I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but if you've ever been on an airplane where before takeoff, the flight attendants and the pilots say, to help us get off the ground, we need everybody to move, I forget, to the back of the plane or the front of the plane. Like, we have to balance the weight of the plane. So if everybody can move, I'm like, what the fuck? The fact that getting us off the ground relies on where we're sitting does not inspire a ton of confidence. I don't understand the physics behind it, but it never makes me feel very good.
Well, I mean, I think it's just those are for flights when they're not full, right? So if for some reason 80% of the passengers are sitting on the left side of the plane, it would be a good idea to balance it
out. Yeah.
They're doing their job. It's a good thing.
Yeah, I know. That's the other thing. I always just, if I do start to feel panic, I look around me and I look at the flight attendants. And if they're fine, I'm probably fine.
Yeah.
If anyone has any tips for how to overcome anxiety in general, or but specifically flying anxiety, that'd be cool.
Send it on. Sam is willing to try it. When's the next time you're going to have to hop on a plane?
I don't think for a long time. Probably not. Until maybe October, maybe January.
That's good then.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna stay put. Spencer was his sister had a trip planned to Montreal to look for a new place, and because she's about to move there, and she was gonna go with her boyfriend, but they broke up, and he was like, "Well, do you go with Anna to Montreal?" And I was like, "Fuck no! I just got home from a plane. There's no way." Half of the reason I was okay was as we were like in the air, I was like, "I don't have to do this again. I don't have to do this again for a really long time." So no, I'm not going.
Yeah, so send those tips along. That would be very helpful. And not only helpful for you, but there are tons of people out there who have a fear of flying. There are people who have never flown because they have a fear of flying, and they've yet to experience other parts of the world or even other parts of Canada, which is unfortunate because, it's so freaking beautiful.
Yeah, man.
So yeah, there's lots of ways that you can send those tips along to us, and we'll be happy to share them in a upcoming episode. You did tease something.
So back in January, I had a very traumatic experience where there was a attempted break-in while I was home alone with my dog Scotch, and I finally tomorrow get the recording of my 911 call, and I thought it would be interesting if we listened to that and talked a little bit about that nightmare experience.
Yeah, I am very intrigued to hear this conversation that you had with 911.
It took them a long time to give me the call or to give me the recording. And I followed up a couple of times. And the last time I followed up, the person I talked to said that that it was under review and that it was being reviewed in case anything needed to be redacted from it. So I'm wondering if anything was redacted, and if so, what it might have been. Mm-hmm. But anyways, we'll get into that maybe next episode or the one after that or sometime soon.
Yeah, coming up in the next couple of episodes. Yeah. We'll kind of give you more of the details on that whole episode.
Yeah, maybe a trigger warning at the beginning. It was not a good night.
That's pretty cool, though. I didn't know that you could even get your 911 calls. I had no idea that was a request.
It's like a freedom of information, privacy, something called FOIP, I think.
I'm gonna have to Google that.
Yeah. Add another super exciting Google search to
Cool. So look forward to that in an upcoming episode. And if you ever want to get in touch with us, you can do so on our Twitter, which is at TCGA Podcast, or on our Facebook page, This Could Get Awkward, or you can email us, This Could Get Awkward Podcast at gmail.com.
Bye.
Bye.